Now, one of the things that people often go through when they're learning nonviolent communication, and they see how what they're telling themselves creates their feelings. So they see that they're telling themselves thoughts like, that was a stupid thing to do, and that's that way they took it that's making them feel such shame and guilt. So very often when people see that they're thinking in that way that creates their feeling of shame and guilt, they then say to themselves, I shouldn't feel that way. What's wrong with me? I've been studying nonviolent communication long enough that I should no longer think that way. So they judge themselves for judging themselves, which just makes them feel even worse than ever. So we suggest that in learning nonviolent communication, it's very important to keep conscious at all times that the goal of life is not to be perfect. It's to become progressively less stupid. So let's learn from our limitations. Let's learn from our errors. See them as opportunities to develop ourselves. And to keep in mind that anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly. So I'd like to give a couple examples of how we can learn from our limitations when we transform our self-judgments into needs. I was presenting in front of 800 teachers in a school system, and I was asked to speak at their once-a-year meeting. And after I presented what I had to say about how to create schools in harmony with nonviolent communication, four of the school administrators were on a panel to react to what I said. And one of the persons said to me, when he heard that I was suggesting in our schools we had no punishments, and we didn't judge students as bad, but that we spoke honestly with them about whether or not their behavior was in harmony with our values or needs. We judge that way, but not judgments of a moralistic sort that implied wrongness. Well, I wasn't surprised that this might upset some of the school administrators, since this way of looking at the world is quite different than how many people have been educated. So he said with rather intense voices, you know, it's people like you that are causing the problems we're having in the schools nowadays with all of your permissiveness. Above all, we administrators and teachers must teach students to obey authority and do what they're told. Now, something about the way he said above all just really stimulated me, and instead of acting in harmony with the principles I was teaching, I got very defensive and said to him, it's attitudes like that that we should just obey authority above everything else. That's why 6 million people got shoved into ovens. This started a very unproductive discussion between us. What made it worse, some of the people in the audience applauded what I was saying, so I got into an argument with him about who's right, and we weren't connecting with what each other's needs were. And that evening, as I was driving from that workshop to another one in another city, I didn't like at all the way I handled him, how I responded to him. And the first few minutes I was in the car, I blamed myself. Oh, what a stupid thing to do. How could you have talked to him that way? You just ruined everything. You're never going to be invited back to that school system again. But then when I caught myself blaming myself, I stopped, saw this self-blame, and asked myself, wait a minute. What need of mine didn't get met by how I responded to that man? And right away I could see what the need was. I was not responding to him with the respect that I would like to respond to people. I wasn't meeting my own need for respecting people. Now, when I saw that need, I was very sad, but at least I didn't feel the kind of feelings I felt when I was blaming myself, the shame, the guilt, the anger toward myself. But I felt a deep sadness. I could see that I was not responding to him in a way that met my need for respecting of people. And then I asked myself, what need of mine was I trying to meet by behaving in the way that I did? And all of a sudden it became very clear to me what my need was. I needed understanding for how frightening it was for me to hear somebody saying, above all, we have to teach people obedience to authority. The word above all stimulated in me memory of how in Nazi Germany people were educated to believe, above all, you have to obey the Führer. So then I saw both parts of myself. I mourned that I didn't meet my need for respect the way I treated this person. But I could also see that I behaved as I did, out of my need for understanding, for how frightening it was for me, for authorities to have this belief that above all, we have to teach children obedience to authority. Now, by being in touch with both of those needs, I have a better chance to learn, because I said to myself, now, how would I have liked to have behaved differently in that situation? And I realized if I had behaved differently, I would have liked to have understood what that person was feeling and needing behind his statement, above all, we have to teach children obedience. And I realized that he probably had a need for order and safety in the schools and believed that this is important for having rules to maintain this order and safety. And I had the same needs. So then I could see that we didn't have different needs. We might have had different strategies, but we didn't have different needs. So I saw that if I would have heard that message with empathy and seen that we had the same needs, I would have responded to him in a much different way, in a way that I believed we could have learned from each other without becoming enemies. That night, I was presenting in another school system, and a person responded to me in a very similar way to how the principal had responded to me earlier that day. But this time, thanks to the learning that I went through while driving in the car, when this person said, we have to teach children obedience to authority. It's people like you with your permissiveness that's causing the problems we have nowadays. Now I could hear behind those words, and I could hear the need for order and safety. And I said to him, sir, are you concerned with what you hear me saying? Because you want to be sure we have order and safety in the schools, and we need rules in order for that to happen. And he said, that's right. And then I could show him that I was also in favor of rules, but that I showed him a different way of establishing rules, and rules based on the protective use of force and not the punitive use of force. And we connected in a very positive way. After that meeting, he came up to me and said he was a minister at one of the local churches, and he wanted to apologize for coming and saying the things he had said at the beginning. He said, I see now I didn't understand the kind of program you and the superintendent are trying to create here in the system. He said, I would like to invite you to come to my church and give a presentation to the people in my church. I think it would be very helpful for them. And that started a connection I had with him and his church that lasted 20 years, where twice a year I would go to his church and do training in nonviolent communication. So I offer this as an example of how we can learn from our limitations without blaming ourselves, hating ourselves. And we do that by being conscious of what need isn't met by our behavior, and then empathizing with what needs we are trying to meet at those times that we are behaving in a way that doesn't meet some of our needs.